It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. I want to read for you from Ephesians 4. We already heard from Ephesians 3 earlier, which, by the way, I want to read, before I read Ephesians 4, I want to read. This is Ephesians 3:20, which Kathy read from whatever version it was, NLT. But this is from the Passion paraphrase. I want you to listen to this. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, not undo. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. If you're feeling low on energy, you need to plug back in to the one who constantly energizes you. And one of the ways you do that is in his word, to read his promises, to get involved in what he is saying. Now I want to go to chapter 4, and I'm hopefully going to be able to pull it right back up. And it goes like this. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, this is chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is a mouthful. My title today is one. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one. One. Interesting that we're exhorted at the beginning of those verses to walk this way and to do this and to be like that. But it's all to lead us to this right here. It's Paul is not saying, do a bunch of things. Make sure you do all of this. I'm in the middle of a new book by Robert that is really good. That's messing me up. And Robert is our missionary in India, and he, like Grant, they're just dialed into grace. Grace, grace, grace. And you know why? Because that's pretty much so the New Testament is grace. And so much of what we busy ourselves up with are things that God has not called us to do. Or tasked that are not eternal. They're not a part of what really he's trying to accomplish in the earth. And I promise you that the most of what he's trying to accomplish in the earth is not through you, but in you. In you. Now, he knows if he can bring transformation in you, that will bring transformation through you. But sometimes we get the cart for the horse. And we spend a lot of time trying to let the Lord use us rather than renew us and transform us personally. This is where I'm going with this. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. There was a task, even at the beginning, for us to be subduers. There was work. We think garden, and we think there was nothing to do. But not the whole earth was garden. Because you know, through the fall, through their disobedience, they were removed from the garden. That means there was part that was in the garden and part that wasn't. I think it was God's original plan for the whole earth to be like the garden. And that was going to take partnership with him. However, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. I believe that is a call to us inside to be fruitful and multiply in him, in us, inside, in us. And we're so, before we're inside, one. Now, the flip side of that is all you think about is yourself. I remember crying out to God when we needed help in children's ministry, because it seems like you always need more helpers in children's ministry. And I had a senior pastor. We would have a big event. We were going to have a big conference. We had these conferences all the time, it seemed like. At the time, we were having three or four of them a year. And finally, we wised up and we cut that down a little bit. They'd bring in big names, and they would go on for 4 days. And if the Holy Spirit was moving, we were going to go an extra day. And I was in charge, Kelly and I were in charge of all the children's ministry. We'd have people from all over the town in Oklahoma City would come to these events because they would be pretty big names. And they'd bring their kids who didn't know who I was and didn't really care what I told them to do. And so when they'd say, if the Holy Spirit's moving, we're going to go an extra night, I could pretty much say, I can tell you right now, he's saying no, he's not moving for one more night. Because it required us to solicit a lot of people that did not have any giftedness in working with kids. I had one man, James Port, worked in the 2 and 3 year old, most gentle guy you've ever seen, just super gentle, gentle. We set up a puppet set for the 2 and 3 year olds. We never had puppets in there. We set up puppet sets. Was it 4 and 5s? 4 and 5s. But it wasn't the elementary age kids, right? And so we set up a puppet set because we thought they would enjoy having some puppets. I mean, we're going to be here for 4 or 5 nights for 3 or 4 hours at a pop, right? So let's get some tools. And we had all these people that aren't normally, you know, involved with the kids. And we had one little boy named Josiah. All the regular teachers knew Josiah because he was a pretty defiant young man. And he would say, I don't want to. And he would dig his feet in, and he was not going to do it. But his biggest thing he was known for that he would say is, I want my mom. And all the regular teachers learned to say, I know you do, Josiah. I want her too. But she's not here, so come over here, and let's do this. And that would be okay. That's all he needed was a little redirection. You agree, and then move him on, right? Well, James didn't know that trick. Mildest mannered guy you ever seen. And the next thing you know, I'm getting a notice that James has taken Josiah behind the puppet set and whooped his butt. Not the notice I wanted to get. But you know what? Josiah didn't give him any more crap the rest of that week. We had to get his parents. Parents were military, and they said, well, he probably deserved it. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. I said, James, we don't whip kids here. James never did volunteer for us again. My point is this. The pastor would get up and ask people to help, and we're not moving forward until we have 125 people. Raise your hand if you can help. And they would hand him a card. And I'm like, oh, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Because I knew what was coming next. We'd have to call them. And then they would say, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean this time. I've got such and such. So it was just, and I was crying out to God. And I said, God, why? What? I was quitting, but I didn't go in and quit because every time I went in and quit, my senior pastor would say, well, who called you, me or did the Lord call you? So I knew how that was going to go down. But I was like, God, I'm angry. I'm mad. He already knows all this. So I had frank talks with my father. I said, what is the deal? And God said, they're just like me. I didn't want to hear that. I said, you're not like that. You're faithful. You're a faithful, all power. You know, that's why I don't have all power. Because some of you might be dead right now. If if I did, right? It's true. That's why you don't have it either. And I said, what? He said, they're just like me. I don't understand what you're saying. He said, in my image, they are created. They're just like me. And I was like, I don't understand. See, I had gone to the conferences and I had found out one time that if you need more help, what you have to do is tell people. They don't know you need more help. You have to tell them, we need more help in the kids. I'm telling you right now, we need more help in the kids. I'm telling you. But you know what? It never increased our volunteers. If anything, it may have decreased it. Maybe people looked at me and said, that man looks tired. It must be really bad back there. I don't want to go back there. Look at the bags under his eyes. That didn't work. So I went to another conference. I'd go to these conferences. I went to this one children's conference every year, and I really enjoyed the fellowship of other children's ministry. But I could pull out my notes and see these speakers. I could see these same things I wrote. I'm not doing them, but I could see these great things we should be doing, right, in children's ministry. And I go through these, and somebody had a different idea. They said, you know what? You don't need to tell the need. Don't tell the need. That doesn't work. You need to tell people the results. Tell them what's going on. Tell them of the victories. The testimony is going on. So, man, we went to town. We got these dry erase things that were blackboards with fluorescent, and they lit up and all that. And we started saying how many kids we had, how many kids got saved, how many kids got filled with the Holy Spirit, how many healings we had. We did all this stuff, and I thought, this is really going to work. It did not work. Sorry to say. If anything, people thought, glory to God, it's going on back there just like it is in here. They're good. They're good. And so I was recalling these things to the Lord as I was saying, ah! And he's saying, they're just like me. In my image, they are created. In my image. And I thought, what is that? What are you talking about? And you know, there is the Father, God the Father, upholding everything. There's God the Son. His Son, His only begotten Son that came, that died, willingly gave His life for our sin to provide everything that we need in salvation, everything we need in healing, everything that we need. He went and He sat down on the throne and it is finished. Amen. We're still walking around like we're trying to help Him out. Right. And He said, you know, they're going to walk around like they're trying to help me out. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who was there when God said, let us make man in our image. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you are a spirit. You live in a body, and you have a mind, will, and emotions. Your spirit becomes alive to God when you finally surrender to what Christ has done for you. Your spirit man or woman comes alive to God. Your mind, however, is still the same mind you had. That's why the Bible says to renew our mind. That's why we have to have God renew our mind, change our thinking. We have stinking thinking. We're saved. We're receiving what Christ has done, and then your body's going to do what it wants to do when it wants to do it all the time, always, forever, until you put this one down and put the incorruptible on. Your body's always going to want to do what it wants to do, always. So you've got your spirit who always wants to do what God wants, always, 100%. If you're born again and your spirit is alive to God, your spirit man always wants to do what God wants to do. So you have a deciding factor between your body and your spirit, and it's called your mind, will, and emotions. And Jesus said, I need to help that. Huh? It's your soul. Yeah, it's your soul. The Bible says, he who is wise wins souls. I'm going to tell you something. He who is wise wins your own soul. And he said, I'm going to help with that. I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to live inside them that can communicate with their spirit and help them with this soul problem that they have. So God said, they're just like me. They were created in my image, and here's how we're like him. For his pleasure, we were created. for his pleasure. See, listen, God's in this for what's in it for him. He saved you because of what's in it for him. He put potential in you because of what's in it for him. He didn't want blind allegiance, or he could have just made us all love him. He wants us to voluntarily come to him and be and become what he has put inside of us to be and become because of what's in it for him. And the truth is, you do what you do really because of what's in it for you. Problem is, we get it twisted around and we don't realize often as we should that it's what's in it for me for him. So I would encourage you, when God says to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, it's because it's something in it for him. And that you would begin to take your tasks, your things that are going on around you, and they don't become, they don't continue to be your do better, be better, do more, say more, be holier. Instead, they become, what's in it for me, God, for you? What's in it for me, for you? And then he goes on and says, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs. You know he had to put man asleep because men could have never handled it. Right? Were the women only ones laughing at that? Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man. How I think he said it. Because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. It's interesting that a man would leave his father and his mother when Adam and Eve had no father and mother. It's an interesting thing to say there. They shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord. Jesus, right before the garden, before he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, took some disciples with him, was going to be arrested, and he went, you know that he went into the garden and pleaded, basically, if there's another way. It was such a traumatic moment that the Bible says that he sweat blood. You can be under so much stress that capillaries can actually bust. He knew what was coming. But before he went into this garden, this is what he prayed. Jesus spoke these words, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. This is John 17:1. John 17 is one of my most favorite passages in the whole Bible. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Jesus is praying to his Father about you and I. He's talking about his disciples then, and he's talking about you and I now. Now, remember, let us make man in our image, male and female. He created them in his image. Male and female. Neither gender's got the whole package. To all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is praying for you and I, praying for his disciples, that we would be one with him as he is one with his Father. Then in verse 20 of chapter of John 17, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word. That you could just say, he's talking to you right there. If you believe in Jesus, it's because of the word of his disciples who came after. And he's praying for you right there on behalf of those, not just on these alone, these disciples, but those who also believe in me, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, I've hit this verse several times in the last few weeks, but it's one hope, one spirit, one Lord, right? One. He's praying that we would be one. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. Verse 23. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them, even as you have loved me. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord. We are at a place here at Lyft. We're at a threshold, I believe. We're at a precipice in this house, in this body, not just Lyft, okay? It's all over the world. A day is upon us. But I can speak to here because this is where I'm at. And it just so happens that's where you're at today. We are at a point and at a place where we need to embrace our oneness with each other as much as we do what we hope to be exhibiting to the world. We're at a place to where we are going outside of these walls. It is time for us to go outside these walls in a greater measure, okay? And God's going to orchestrate those things. He is. He's already started it. He's already started some things outside of these walls. But there's things going on inside of these walls too, and outside of these walls in our homes with those people sitting right next to you now. It's really hard to be one with somebody that you don't know. And it's hard to know somebody if you don't spend time with them. And your Sunday chat is probably not enough time for that. God is trying to mobilize Lyft as one body in one spirit with one hope, serving one Lord. And to do that, we have got to lock arms with one another. We have got to look upon one another in a different way than we have up to this point. This isn't your personal church experience. This is a corporate gathering of believers who have already spent time with the Lord, who have already spent some time worshiping him, who have already decided that his word is an important thing in their life, and that when they come together, they're coming together to sharpen other people and to be sharpened and to embrace as one body, in one spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I need you to hook arms with me because I may have something that needs to be resurrected in me. And God wants to do it through you. Matthew 25:31, Jesus is speaking. He says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Do you believe he's sitting on his glorious throne right now? I believe he is, but I believe the day is coming when he's coming here. And we're going to have a new perspective, what that means. You know how I know that? Because he says this in the next verse. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. All nations. I just said how many different nations, missionaries are coming this summer. Isn't that great? And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I want you to know he's saying that to you and I today. Because there is an inheritance we're not walking in fully. We're still trying to do stuff to make it happen rather than saying, healing come. Rather than embracing the fullness. Jesus said, go, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, heal the sick, right? Go do these things. He didn't say wait until you got it all figured out. Next verse. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Look around. Because the least of these is sitting in seats next to you. It could be you. God is positioning us to do incredible things. Incredible things. In the army, or in those days at least, they would lock arms. I'm facing this way, you're facing that way, you're facing that way, you're facing that way. I didn't have to worry about my back because there was someone over there facing that way. I'm calling out to the north, south, east, and west for those who will come to lift and be one body. In one spirit, the spirit of Christ, with one hope, which is Christ, with one Lord, which is Christ, that will lock arms with me and with you. So that we can advance what God's wanting to do in this earth. And I hate to break your bubble, but it includes other churches too. We met with a pastor of a church, a local church here in town, Pastor Chris and I did, to hear their story and how they're mobile at the moment and just different things that are going on. And they have such a love for this city. They're rich in the history of the city. I learned things from them about the history of the city. And I have a love for the city, but I'm a transplant. I've been here almost 17 years, but I'll tell you what, God loves this city. He loves this nation, and he loves this world. And he will have a bride that's going to accomplish what he wants to do. And I say, let us be one of those bodies. Let us be one, poised and ready and willing and able. And let us be one that just simply believes what he said. No more earning it. No more frustratingly trying to pedal faster, but to get on board with him and let him do what he wants to do. I hope you want to be part of the one. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. That's good math in God's economy. Let's stand up. Father, thank you so much that as we have learned and are continuing to learn, that as we have made you the one we adore, the one that we worship, the one whom we seek, the one whose presence changes everything. We sing a song that when you walk in the door, when you walk, Father, you are here waiting on us every time we come together. You're here. Holy Spirit, you're here every time. I'm praying, Father, right now that you would break off shame and condemnation on people that's holding them back, that tells them they're not worthy to be one of yours, that tells people that they are not important or vital in what you're trying to do right here in this house. I break that off in Jesus' name, and I speak the authority of Christ over their bodies that need healing. And I declare healing come, physical manifestation of healing come to those bodies in the sound of my voice who need healing. Recreative miracles to those parts that are missing, God. Healing come. Deliverance from torment come. The enemy is defeated. The king is alive, and we declare it over lives right now. No more. No, we draw a line in the sand and we say, no more. No more. We curse tormenting spirits and say, no more. No more. You're the cure. And we receive it today. We receive it today, Jesus. I speak to finances that have been eaten up with poor decisions of us and others. Things that are in our control and things that are not. And we declare that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We declare, God, that you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. There is no lack in you. You have no lack. So I speak and declare and cry out and plead provision for the vision you have for us personally and corporately. Not a get-rich-quick scheme, Father, but I am praying that you would be glorified through abundance and generosity in your people. That you would finance what you're doing in the earth. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We are not in love with money. We are in love with you. And we can be trusted. We can be trusted with riches because we give them to you. We declare your glory through them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I pray for jobs. Jobs, new jobs, new direction. Just like I had a word for Ash that God was going to take him to directness, be direct. I'm praying for direct job situations. Direct job situations. If you're in the throes right now, wondering about your job, raise your hand. I want to see who you are. You're wondering about your job. Maybe there's change in the air, whatever. Okay. Father, right now I declare jobs, correct, godly direction for jobs, for career, for, I just speak multiplication. And I hear the Lord saying this, what do you want? What do you want? Have you asked me for what you want? Ask me. Ask me. Watch me move in ways you just can't believe. And it'll all be for me. You'll give me glory. Because there's no way you could have done this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, I thought I'd be done, but I was long. Do you have something, Pastor Chris? All right, lift up your hands. If you know what, if you want further prayer or you want someone to lock in with you with the word, using the word and declaring what God wants to further say or do through you or just agree with you, you can come up here after I release you and we will pray with you until we are done, all right? Father, we have our hands up once again and we're saying yes and amen to all of your promises. We are declaring that we want to be one in body, one in spirit, one in hope, and one in you, O Lord, and we will not let go until you receive all the glory, till you flood the earth with your glory. In Jesus' name, help us now as we go out into our mission field to be one in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.